chapter 6 says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That is something in Hebrew that is called the Shema, because that's what the word "hear" means. Shema Yisrael Adonai Elokeinu. It means, "Hear Israel, the Lord our God is one." And that is so centerpiece to even Jesus' belief that he quotes that. And Jesus, the writer of Deuteronomy says, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. They're supposed to be on the inside. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and your daughters. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Mealtime, evening, morning, all the key parts of our day as family, we are to integrate Scripture into the hearts of our kids. And they're going to be, the Scriptures are going to be so integrated into our hearts, it's as though they're bound to the front lobes of our brain. They're bound on our foreheads, and they're bound on our foreheads, so that when we go about doing our daily work, we see God's Word as it is bound to our hands. And in fact, they're to be written on the doorposts of our house and on our gates, those key entrance points that define who we are as a family. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers." Wow. The generations, we need each other. I think it's beautiful. Proverbs 22:6, you're very familiar with this verse. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he or she is old, they will not depart from it." Beautiful. I want to pray, and we're going to get ready to dedicate these three babies to the Lord. Abba, Father, thank you for grace. Thank you that you have chosen me, and you have changed my life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Abba, Father, we dedicate these kids to you. We dedicate these parents to you. And we're going to get our hearts ready to do this as a church and as families, because it's so critical. In a culture full of lies, our children need truth. In a culture full of hate and division, our children need grace and they need love. Abba, Father, bless as we prepare as your church to dedicate these children and these families to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. With three kids, we've got Watson, Joseph, Giles, and all their family are here from Jonesboro. Dear friends that I've known for a long, long time. So excited to see them here. And then Elijah, Matthew McCormick, and his folks are here. Beautiful. And then, of course, Evelyn Margot, I've already mentioned. Evelyn, yes, she is my favorite. And according to Rebecca, she has kissable cheeks. There's a whole lot of chub right there. Kissy spot. So these kids are absolutely beautiful. So this is what I want us to do. If the three families could come be at the front, and we're going to get ready. All right, we're going to get ready to do this. And are you going to be my helper? There's no telling what's going to happen. Oh, there you go. You all need an egg. Yep. And if you'll sit at the front and you'll face the congregation, or stand at the front and face the congregation, that'll be beautiful. Yep. Wonderful. All right. Now, you know, really, a baby dedication, practically speaking, is really a parent dedication, isn't it? It's really about the moms and dads. And these little kids are just sponges that soak up mom and dad. So if mom and dad give out bad things, those little kids are going to soak up the bad things. If mom and dad give out good things, those little kids are going to soak up the good things. So it's really, at its core, it's about mom and dad and the influence that they're going to have on these kids. Now, it is unquestioned that moms and dads can make a decision right at the beginning point that this child is going to be dedicated to the Lord, and we're going to honor that. So here's how we do it at Christ Church, because it really is about the family, and it's about the whole church as the body of Christ. So we're going to be preparing now to do two vows. The first is with Christ Church, and the second is going to be with the individual parents. So are you ready? Here we go. Christ Church, do you promise to devote yourselves to praying for and helping these parents raise their kids to know God, to walk in the fear of the Lord, and to live in the love and grace of Jesus Christ through His Spirit? We do. Parents, do you promise to devote yourselves to Jesus and raise your children to know God and live in the love and grace of Jesus through His Holy Spirit?
We do.
Parents, again, do you promise to not provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord?
We do.
All right. I want to pray this prayer of dedication. And first, I'm going to read this famous text from 1 Samuel. She said, O Lord, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Dads, could you put your hand on your child? And we're going to pray together. Abba, Father, we dedicate these babies to the Lord. We bless them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will bless them, and these children will know you at an early age, and they will walk with you and follow you all their days. Father, thank you for the Giles family. Thank you for the McCormicks. Thank you for the Bones. In accordance with your word, we speak the name of peace, the peace of Christ, over their homes. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you a Bible to remember this body. Thank you. Elijah, thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you also very, very much. Thank you. Wow. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. All right. I'm excited to get into God's word. Oh, boy. Man, I need this. And so beautiful when I heard the Lord's voice on what I'm sharing. Generations. Look at these. Generations. Three generations in that photograph. And I think I'm going to be like that the old guy sitting down because I've had too many ding-dongs and too many bowls of ice cream. But... you know, it's good to smile, right? And appreciate family. I want to teach from Proverbs today, but we're going to kind of set it up just a little bit before we get into this. We're going to talk about a wise father, a wise mother, and the power of influence that we share. And before, I got to pray and God, ask God's blessing again. Man, Lord, I love you, and I'm so thankful for your word and for everybody that's here. God, prepare our hearts, please. To hear the truth and to set aside distractions and the stuff that blocks us from really hearing from the Spirit. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In your name, amen. All right, let's talk about influence. Exodus 20. This is really fascinating. This is the introduction to the Ten Commandments. It's presented critically in Exodus 20. And it says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath. In the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. And it says, inflicting the punishment of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation. And by the way, the word generations in Hebrew is door, of those who hate me, but show favor to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, you read that at first and you go like, wow, sounds like God's kind of hard to get along with. It's like he's punishing innocent people for things they didn't do. It's like a little bit of ow there. No, that's absolutely not the case. When you study the Hebrew language, you understand God's not into afflicting people. God is into teaching people the fruit of their decisions. God is willing to allow consequences to take place for fathers and mothers who don't walk with God, and how that can be passed on to the generations. And so God's not saying, ha ha, I get to give a spanking to somebody that doesn't deserve it. That's not God. That's not his heart at all. But God is saying, I know the human heart, and they've got to face that when they make unhealthy decisions, there's unhealthy consequences. And so what happens is when a man doesn't walk with God, when a woman doesn't walk with God, their kids pay the price. That's what that means. And that can go on. The influence of that can go on even to the third and fourth generation. Now, that generational concept door, watch this, but showing favor to thousands of generations. How's that for grace? three or four generations versus thousands of generations? Wow. We can't say God's not a God of love and mercy. God's heart is to show his grace, his favor, and his love, even to thousands of generations. He's just saying, please, walk in the way of my son. Let me show you how serious this is. This is a fact, okay? This is just a simple fact. Involve dads and improve their children's overall emotional and social well-being. That's a fact. How about this fact? Children who live with their dads do better in school. Just because there's a dad at home. How about this one? Men with absent fathers are more likely to become absent fathers. Wow. That's not rocket science, people. Little boys who are raised without a dad are more likely to become the very same thing. That apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. How about this one? Children living without a father in the home are 47% more likely to live in poverty. Wow. Wow. Brian, you see this. You see it a lot. All right. Study that real quick. Look at that graphic. By the way, this is really current information here. Fatherless kids are 4 times not at risk for poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality without a dad in a home. Wow. 2 times the risk of infant mortality because dad doesn't show up. More likely to go to prison. This will blow your mind. According to the Arkansas Department of Corrections, one of the metrics they look at in order to have, if they need to build or expand prisons, is the dropout rate for kids in the second grade. Soak that up. Second grade. And why would kids be dropping out in the second grade? One of the number one reasons is they don't have a godly dad at home. Yeah. More likely to commit a crime. 7 times more likely to be pregnant as a teen. More likely to face abuse and neglect. More likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. 2 times more likely to suffer obesity. And 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. That is the crisis of absentee fathers in America. Wow. Men, you are so important. Oh my gosh. Let's dig into the word here. A wise father, a wise mother, and the power of influence. You know, we're going through Proverbs on Sunday morning, and so this is so exciting. A gracious woman. And in Hebrew, that's chaim, and it literally means favor, grace. A gracious woman can also be translated an elegant woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. An elegant, gracious woman gets honor. Proverbs 11:22 says, like a ring of gold in the snout of a pig, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. A godly woman can have tremendous influence. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A good grandpa can bless the grandkids. But the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. The wise woman builds her house. The foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have a refuge. Try to tie that back in with that graphic that I just showed you. Men, if you learn to walk out the fear of God, and by the way, don't take that in some twisted, scary way. It's not what it means. If you learn to walk out this holy reverence and respect for God, pay attention. You learn to show respect for God? Come on. What do your kids learn? Respect for authority. Come on. When we walk out the fear of God, this reverent respect and genuine love, our kids get a hold of that. And they're coachable in Little League. They respect and honor you. But when they see that we have no respect for Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, man, wouldn't it be cool to be a safe place for your kids, a refuge? Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Oh, my goodness. I have seen the way Isaiah, little Zay, mighty man Zay, look at Stephen. Just the eye contact as he is looking at his dad. I love this. The righteous who walks in his integrity, the man, the woman who walks in his integrity, her integrity. Blessed are his children after him. Blessed are her children after her. It's walking out the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. Wow. She watches over the activities of her house. This is the Proverbs 31 woman. And does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. And her husband also, he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Boy, a godly woman who cares for the kids and runs the home, it's powerful. And the kids will admire her. Beautiful stuff. All right, Proverbs 30:31. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised, just like the man who fears the Lord. Even so, the woman who fears the Lord, she's going to be worthy of praise. All right, let's dig in. What are we going to do? How do you translate this into our world today? Well, Hebrews 10 says this: let us hold fast the confession, the testimony of our hope, without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let me just simply say this. Christ Church, we need each other. We need relationships, because it's in the accountability of this dynamic right now that it's going to help a man walk in his integrity. A woman walk in her integrity, live out the fear of the Lord, to be faithful, to be that strong tower. We need each other to do that. Now, if you're like me, I didn't have a godly dad for a long, long time. And it created a huge deficit in me and my sisters. So you know what? God became my Abba Father. God can make up for a whole lot of mess. Let me say that again. Jesus, God can make up for a whole lot of mess that mom and dad make. All right? So Paul writes, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons and as daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, and we will also be glorified with him. The fact is, not all dads are the safe tower that a child can run to. But Jesus is. Not all dads are. Not all moms are the safe place. But Jesus Christ is. And we can run to that safe place, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. You know what's beautiful is when a mom can say, hey, my safe place is Jesus. And the kids can get that and go, hey, he's my safe place too. And go running to him. Again, to encourage you, Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house. The foolish tears it down with their own hands. And the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. I want to turn it over to you, Christ Church. You are the body of Christ. We have multiple generations here in the room. Perspectives of wisdom. We've got our battle scars. You know, we know what it's like. We've made a few laps around the sun here. And we have those just beginning their journey in being a parent like the Giles. Those of us who have some gray hair, begin with you. How would you encourage and advise young families to follow the Lord in this kind of culture? What would you say? What scriptures would you emphasize? What encouragement can you bring a young family who wants to raise their children to love and honor God? And those online too, we want to hear from you on Facebook or those watching off our website. How can we encourage the next generation to raise their kids to love God and walk with God? What can we do? Some of you are new. This is when we get to talk. I know it's Central. You don't do this at Central. If you do, God will strike you. I know. This is the safe place, okay? I know.
I can tell them, but they're not
going to
be prepared.
I know. Is it group therapy or is it seminary? What is it? Maybe a little bit of yes. It's okay. We're family at the dinner table. We can talk. How do you help the next generation grow up and be spiritually mature and raise their kids well? What do you do? What's it going to take? Moms, dads, grandma? Yes?
Lead by example and emphasis more on love instead of the law aspects of the Bible.
Yeah, say that again. That's really important, Margaret.
Lead by example and emphasis more on the love aspects of the Bible and less on the law.
Thank you, Margaret. So let me summarize that sometimes the stuff of the heart of God and the heart of Jesus is caught and not taught. It's like a spirit you catch. It's like a mood when you walk in the room. It's the heart. Absolutely. By the way, my clients at the clinic who have lots of trauma, some of them, Margaret, are raised in families that are high law. Super, super intense rules. And if you break one, the wrath of mom, the wrath of dad, and the wrath of anything that's moving is going to come down on you. High law and low grace. And what makes it worse is they're framed in a religious way. They're considered Christian. And wow, does that do damage with a kid? It really does. Sonny.
I think one of the most important things that comes to mind is that Hebrews 10:25 is not neglecting to meet together. And yeah. I know that I think that's where I have failed during part of it, is not surrounding myself with other believers.
Yeah. Sonny said. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Justin, good to see you. These are good folk. Really, really good folks. Salt of the earth. So, Margaret. Margaret, how old are you?
20.
You're 20. I know. It gets worse, Margaret. 60. Margaret, can you imagine Stephen and Rebecca, if they hear Evelyn Margot at the age of 20 saying, Dad, Mom, thank you for walking out your faith. Thank you. Little Olive says to Kaylin Ben, hey, Mom, Dad, I love you. Thank you for showing me the way of Jesus. Wouldn't it be beautiful? And for Watson to walk that out and live that out and see Mom and Dad. That's beautiful. Absolutely. Someone else. Why does this matter and how do we move it to the next generation? Ronnie.
Why teach the kids, especially when they're at each other, to put themselves, pick that same action or worse than himself and how they would feel about it. Teach them to love, be loving. And if what they're doing, would God be pleased with that or not?
Yeah. That's good. And you know what? You're creating within them this beautiful gift called a conscience.
Yes.
And if we cannot pass that idea on, we don't have the capacity for integrity. Can you connect those dots? If you don't have a conscience, you have no capacity for integrity, right? If there's no sense of sensitivity between right and wrong, integrity becomes absurd.
I teach them that the right that they're feeling on the inside, that is Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, Rhonda, thank you. By the way, one of the fun things we did with Rebecca and Andrea when they were little, they were really good at each other and they were fighting, we would make them hug. And they couldn't let go until we heard people. Great therapy. Beautiful. Margaret.
Okay, so this is saying my mom told me, so I might be misquoting it, so correct me if I'm wrong, Mom. But she said one time to harp on what she said over here about meeting together with other believers, is that the role of, like, our friend's parents have on us is actually really big. So, like, if you are in a group with people that just believe in the Lord and everything, then their influence on your kids is going to be really strong.
Oh, Margaret, that's so wise. I mean, you walk up to Lee Burrell and you go, why couldn't I have him as a daddy? I want Lee Burrell to be my daddy. I want Edie to be my mama. You know, yeah, we need some of that. It rubs off. By the way, Margaret, that's my story. I didn't have a Christian mom for decades, nor a dad at all. And then I'm at Calvary Baptist Church, this little country church in Baysville, Arkansas. And all of a sudden, I'm hanging out with Jim and Sue Knight. And he's like, I want Jim and Sue to be my mom and dad, you know, and Lisa's mom and dad. Yeah, absolutely, Margaret. We need each other. We do. Through the generations, we need spiritual moms and dads and spiritual grandma and grandpa and stuff. Yeah, this is good, Ed.
And I think that applies, what Marge just said, applies to this body and what we're doing right now.
Yes, yeah.
The fact that we don't just, no offense, we don't just hear from you. You know,
Christ esteem. Yes.
that you open the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
To hear other people in this body.
Yeah.
Express their faith, talk about things, and that, you know, and that the fact that you often allude to, it's okay to hear kids making noise in church.
Yeah.
But what's maybe even better is that those kids are hearing these adults make noise in church.
Ed, please say that again loud. Say it.
It's valuable that the kids are in here. For the kids.
Oh, Ed, you nailed it. And you know what?
So
it's typically when you take your kid right at kindergarten or first grade, what happens? Separated from mom and dad. Right? Elementary, separated. Junior high, separate. High school. Then you take them to church. And what happens? Average church. They're gone. They're separated. So we have moms and dads doing church in one room and kids doing church in another. That is not right. I am unbending on that. Kids need to be with mom and dad, and they need to look up and watch mom speak words of wisdom and dad speak words, or they need to see mom be humble and maybe a little bit broken, or dad humble and a little bit broken. That, there's more impact in a kid's life watching that than most other things. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Andrea. Yes.
X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And you compare it for just about a little while and figure out in great sorrow or humility that that's not how it works. There's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And as a church, we try to find programs that are going to guarantee that we get X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, yes.
And so, what is some of how we teach this grace and this humility and parenting, and that is a complicated thing, is that we offer grace to the people that had faith that come before us, and we can live with the tension of that, and then that makes us able to live with the tension of how hard it is to be a parent in a culture that only wants to destroy.
Yeah.
Your child, and maybe that would make us want to cling even more desperately onto whatever church community we found that decided that they were going to practice love like we do here.
Yeah, yeah, Andrew, you're speaking wisdom. I love Romans 8:28, that God is able to work together all this stuff to create good and kingdom goodness. Parents, have any of you discovered that your child has a sin nature? Has that happened yet? Just curious if that's happened. Yeah. Andrew's on to something. If you do it all right, Edie, right, and you're obeying and doing all the things, does that guarantee your kid is going to come out and want to be the super Christian? Right, right.
And that's the hardest part. When we first went on staff with Campus Crusade way back in the 70s, I remember somebody telling us, I would much rather disciple someone that I led to the Lord rather than disciple someone who grew up in the church, because you have to undo so much.
Yeah.
When people even are raised in Christian homes often because they haven't seen modeled what they were taught.
Yeah.
But I want to share this. Our middle child, our oldest son, when he was about 5 years old, and we taught our kids, we tried, you know, we're human, we made a lot of mistakes, but we tried to live out what we taught. And when we didn't live it out, we sat down and talked to them about how we had failed and asked their forgiveness. But Lee was out of town one time, and I got up. It was a school morning, and Lee used to get up. We got up every morning, and we spent time with the Lord. So I get up, and I go downstairs, and Joshua is sitting in the living room on the sofa. I'm like, that's weird. I said, Josh, what are you doing? Because it was early. And he said, I'm having my quiet time in Dad's spot.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I will just never forget, because we didn't know that he even knew that Lee was down there in that spot every single morning at the same time. I mean, they knew we spent time in God's Word, but he knew that was Dad's spot.
Wow. He was watching, yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Edie. Boy, and by the way, Cody, hold on. Andrew's right. You know, our scientific bent, we like that magic formula, the silver bullet, do ABC, buy this book, watch this video series, and it's magically wonderful. The fact is, it doesn't happen that way, does it? But you know what? I'd still rather try. Never give up, because there's no guarantees. Never give up, because if you give up and just go like, whatever, I hope my kids discover something along the way, you have just lost the war. And boy, the world is working overtime, as Andrew's right, to destroy the family, destroy the kids. And that includes the Equality Act. And I could go on and on and on and on. What's going on in current government and executive orders and TV. And it is crazy how it is destroying the family. We got to push back. And this is how it's done. Right here. You can't give it up. You can't deny that this is the way that we follow Jesus. Cody, now you're married now, so we expect a whole new level of wisdom. So don't disappoint us. All the men are watching.
I was just thinking back that the stats with the fatherlessness.
And right.
That's not an easy problem to solve. You know, that's not an easy, there's no easy correction to that. That we can do for it's already happened. But what the church can do is started with kids, if kids with no father or vice versa, and you just there's no formula. You show them, and that even goes up from kids to youth and to teens and young adults. You know, 19-year-old me that walked into Christ Church down the road in a crazy time of my life when I had a role reversal, my parents split up. I became the father figure. I came very fast, 19 years old, had no idea. And no one sat down and gave me a formula here. No one sat down and said, oh, this. I just saw it.
Yeah.
I just saw it, and I learned from it.
Yeah.
And I gathered what I could from it.
Yeah.
And this became the place of peace for me, especially at that time. I mean, literally, the time I couldn't answer, when my phone rang, I would freak out. But when I came to church, then it came around peace in the midst of chaos. Peace in the midst of chaos. With other couples that I saw. How do you think I know how to treat Wendy? Not from my parents' relationship. From couples I've seen in Christ Church for the years, the 13 years of before.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So that would be my encouragement. There's no formula. There's no... And there may be some things you lead them down that you direct them. Yes. But in essence, it's the things you show them. It's the things you show kids that come here with no father.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in the youth, into even young adults or however. I mean, the older adults.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be my...
Cody, I am so proud of you. I remember when you first came. And Lisa noticed this too, that you were different, that there was something about your spirit. Very mature for your age. Yeah, I'm so proud of you. Cody, I want to go on record in telling you this. And I want every man to hold me accountable to what I'm about to tell you. I think any man who follows Christ, who's got half a brain cell, would be honored to have you for a son. You're that kind of man. And I'm so proud of you. Very proud. Wendy, you are blessed. You are blessed. Someone else. Why does this matter? Yes.
I just want to be encouraging because I've only been a mother for 6 months now. But I just want to be encouraging that if you feel like, oh, I cannot provide that role in the church to be a figure of a family, because we don't have family local to us. They're only here on the weekends, and that's not promised every so you guys are our local family. So you might not feel prepared, but I want to promise you that before Jesus even left this earth, that he prepared the church to be a spiritual family.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, when Jesus left this earth, it's not like there was a huge group of people that had families that were generations where that believed in what Christ did. And in a sense, they did not have any family that believed in the same thing that they just saw Christ do.
Mm.
Their new family were the new believers and followers of Christ. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus had prepared this new family, this new church that Christ had created to be that spot, to be that father, to be that mother, to be that aunt, to be that uncle, to be the grandparents.
Mm.
I mean, Jesus prepares us for these things. And
yes.
I don't think we realize that we're prepared in that spiritual sense until we're in the midst of it. But I just want to encourage you that if you feel like I can't do that, that's not my role. You might find yourself in the midst of it that, oh my gosh, God had created me. God put this purpose in my life. I was prepared without realizing that I was prepared. Because this body is really important to Joseph and me. I mean,
yes.
I don't want to get emotional because you guys are all here. But we don't have family here.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are our family.
Yeah.
So...
That is so beautiful.
You guys are all special to us because of Watson.
Yes, and yes.
Because of what y'all, the people that y'all been before Watson.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. But we need each other. And so I think that's an invitation for all y'all to move to Little Rock. I'm just saying, you know, works out real good. So, Joseph.
More and more it becomes clear to me that most of the time my role is just to be present there, both physically in the room, but also mentally. I need to put my phone away and just be there. And there's so much that kids learn even without you saying anything. I notice Owen watches me pray at the table, or
yep.
You know, even the silly non-spiritual things of just like, you know, weeding the yard,
yeah.
Or swatting fly on the wall. He will pick everything up that I do, whether it's good or bad. And,
yes. Yes.
There's so much to be said for just being present.
Boy, that's so wise, Joseph. I want you to soak up something you said. Everybody get the depth of this. Do you remember what Madison just said? That the fact that you're here in this body, the body of Christ, that can have parental influence and meet some needs? Okay. It's identical to the dynamic that you just mentioned. That Joseph, I mean, how do you cognitively communicate with a one-year-old or a toddler or something? So, you ready for this? Men? How your children watch you relate to their mother is one of the most powerful things you can do. Yes, is it about rolling the ball? Yes. Is it about pulling the weeds? Yes. But you want power? How you treat your wife. Moms, how you treat your husband in the presence of the child, even the toddler, is one of the most powerful ways you influence God's kingdom across the board. Just how you treat your spouse in front of the kids. That's you. Philip.
A couple thoughts. One, I think, and especially in how you relate to, the spouses relate to each other. Let's be real. I think life is going to have hardships in it. And if you try to portray to your kid that everything is perfect, they will never learn how to handle adversity.
Yes.
And so it's important for them to see struggles, I think in a healthy way, not in an abusive way, but I think for them to see disagreements between parents but see resolution is so important for them to learn that they're not going to get their way all the time, and they're going to have to learn to compromise with God's direction in that.
Yes.
And something I think that's important too to remember is we can grow into being a parent, but we're always a child of God's. We have to keep that in mind. As my dad told me through a walk one time, the goal of him being a parent was to change dependence from me to him to me to God.
Yeah.
And so
we
all are dependent creatures. We all need something, and we want it to be God.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Phil. Steven, someone online?
Yeah, there's someone on Facebook that says, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church, which is he gave his life for the church. He died for us. We must die to what we want, and by the power of Jesus, provide what our wife needs. Let your children see you loving and serving their mother. It's all about Jesus first and then your wife. Our wife will respond with respect. Wives, with the power of Jesus, respect your husband. That's straight scripture, they say. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and she will respect you. Wives, love your husband, and he will love you.
Well, beautiful. Somebody else, Stephen, or is it him? Anybody else?
I'm Martha Ann. I just want one moment of your time, please. My son honored me right here and being here with you today on this great day that you have done. It is greatness you have celebrated, and I am so honored to be here with you. Now, I want to tell you just one thing, and then I won't talk. But let me do this. My son was age 12. We were in Florida at a congregation, something like this. And he was where you are, standing on the stage. And he made one statement. He made lots of talk. And he said this, that we all remember and will never forget. He said, God made you the best he could. Now it's up to you to be the best that you can be. Thank you.
Let's see, Lee, I think it was you, Lee. Thank you, Lee.
He knows you now. You got attention. Who got attention?
How did this happen to me? Again!
We might need to leave.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Okay, Lee, go ahead.
All right, you did it. Somebody got attention.
So Franklin, let's have a couple just guide her to the cafe area. Oh, okay. Thank you, sweetie. Okay. Okay, Lee.
So I was thinking about my life, and I have this duality. I grew up, I grew up in a split home. And I grew up on my father's side. He came from a generation where his father's father was a drunk, and his dad was a drunk, and my dad struggled with the same thing. And I saw that so clearly. And on my mother's side, I saw my great-grandfather, how he was a kind, quiet man, and my grandfather was like that, and my mother was like that. And I saw this direct parallel of how someone that knew God and someone that didn't have the chance to really develop that way, how real it affects for almost 100 years worth of time.
Wow.
And so, you know, this isn't like a cute idea. This isn't just like, oh, treat your kids good and your family will be blessed online. It's absolutely real. Like our actions, what we choose to do, how we treat our wives.
Yes.
It's
essential, isn't it?
Yeah. I've seen it directly.
Yeah.
Just how God really, when someone's honored with God.
Yeah.
Everything's not perfect. People still
I've seen
very real effects of
that. Yeah. That is so wisely. One comment, and we're going to pray because it's getting late. Please understand, this thing right here is absolutely addictive. All right? And we have a whole new thing happening in our society. It's called, you ready for this? Here's some really heavy psych words. Digitally distracted parents. It's a new thing. It's a whole new thing. Digitally distracted parents. That we're literally living inside this little box. And while we're doing that, we're absolutely neglecting our kids. Neglecting our grandkids. Neglecting our spouse. It's very, very important that when you're at the dinner table, here's something practical. When you're at your dinner table, put these things away. Put them away. Shut them off and put them someplace else, okay? That's a great, great thing to do. All right. By the way, I think the DSM-6, when it comes out, there'll be some disorder associated. Cell phone disorder is going to be the new psych thing. So, Rhonda, you get the last word here.
Okay. So, in listening, especially to the new parents, those that don't have parents in town, I raised my children without parents in town when we lived in a different state. I'm being led to provide that babysitting service so that you can have that time with your spouse that's so important.
Wow.
And so that is my service to this church. There will be no fee.
Wow.
I don't know how booked I will get.
Oh, you're overwhelmed already.
Yeah, like, I really want to do this.
Just letting you know.
Have a date with your spouse.
Wow. Well, Rhonda, thank you. Wow. So, Rhonda, to me, this is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Ed, you're right. And by the way Christ Church is handled is exactly how Paul said it's supposed to be done. Okay, no arrogance in that. Just telling you this way it's supposed to be done. Because there are people here that bring wisdom and gifts that are essential to this church. I don't have that capacity. It is beyond me to be all things to all people at all times in every situation. I need you. Wise words, discerning words, prophetic words, merciful words. And you all have done it. And now look at your offering service. Wow. Thank you. See Rhonda after the service. Yeah. So, wow. I'm so grateful. Yeah. I need to pray. Terry.
Can I say one thing? In listening to this wonderful body of Christ, basically it boils down for me in a simple phrase, the life you live is the lesson you teach.
Yes.
Day after day, consistently, are you doing the Lord's work?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not hit and miss. It's not, gee, I'll be good today.
Yeah.
But to instill that discipline into your children.
Yeah, yeah.
In the best possible way.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. Terry, thank you. You're the official church grandpa. The scriptures say that with God, there is escapes. That God actually plans a route of deliverance. It's in the Torah, it's in the law, and they're called cities of refuge. That if someone gets in trouble, whether they've really committed a crime, Brian, or even if they're accused of a crime they didn't commit, they know they're in trouble, they can flee to a city of refuge where they would be able to find justice. In Durham, England, at the cathedral in Durham, there's a door of mercy. And as the church, the cathedral set a policy, anyone, doesn't matter who you are, anybody that knocked on the door of mercy, they would be allowed in, and for 37 days, they would have refuge and protection. God is a God who makes a way of deliverance. The scriptures say, like, escapes are with him. Paul borrows that and says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation that's happening to you is not uncommon. It's not an odd thing that's happening to you. And with your temptation, God will always provide a way of escape. The ultimate way of escape, the thing that matters most, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. And that is why John wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." That is deliverance by our Savior. Your children have a sin nature, just like you do. And you have got to pass on that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that repentance and faith in him is the only way by which we will experience being rescued and delivered from the horrific judgment of hell. Moms and dad, we must show the way to the next generation. Absolutely. I want to pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much that you're calling us to a heart completely sold out to you, in a faith that is genuine and real, and broken and raw, but real, and to pursue you as family and as your children. And we need each other. God, show us your grace and favor. And we sing songs now to honor you, to love you with all our hearts. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.